hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. We thank God for tonight, another Saturday, Easter Saturday, as it's called. And
indeed, it's the time to give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for all that He's done for us. The essence of this season is obvious for all. And indeed, it's a very important time for us believers. And tonight's edition is a special edition about Easter and about the death of Christ and the benefits and all that. So don't miss tonight's edition, and I believe at the end of the program you'll be blessed. Eben, and this program comes every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Tonight, as I said, I'll be coming your way with things about the cross, about the blood, and a few other things as well. I'll first start with the news, and I believe we'll discuss a few things alongside. So let me start with this song, and I'll be back afterwards.
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul for the first time I for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end.
Back to Issues of Life. Indeed, we have every reason to thank him for what he has done for us. A lot has been done on the cross for us, and it's our duty to really appreciate the work that was done on the cross for us. Okay, so Issues of Life is the program, and let me get to the news that we have for tonight. These days the news are quite a lot, but we'll just pick a few that we can use for tonight's edition. Yeah. Let me start with this one. Russia has moved military tanks to the border, sparking worldwide alarm. Nations have been placed on high alert after Vladimir Putin has reportedly sent a mass number of tanks to the Ukrainian border in a powerful display of military might, in the midst of reports of missiles being deployed in what has been described by EU as a conscription campaign. Ukraine's foreign minister Dmytro Kuleba recently confirmed that he recently spoke to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE,
to alert them regarding Ukraine, Russia's systemic aggravation. And the report also detailed that footage tweeted by the Intel crab and then reportedly revealed scores of tanks, armored cars, and other vehicles loaded on a train heading for Crimea, the region which Mr. Putin annexed from Ukraine 7 years ago. One military analyst stated, "One of the largest deployments I've seen in recent memory." Indeed, these movements should be of great concern, because any issues there in the Europe area can really be something far bigger than we can anticipate. Okay, and we have the next one that says, "For the first time ever, majority of Americans don't belong to a church or other house of worship. The percentage of Americans who belong to a house of worship, such as church, synagogue, or mosque, dipped below 50% for the first time ever, according to a survey released by Gallup. The new survey, published on Monday, found that only 47% of Americans reportedly have membership in a place of worship in 2020, continuing a sharp downward trend that began at the turn of the 21st century. Gallup first began tracking membership in 1937, at a time when 73% of Americans reported that they belong to a house of worship. That high level of membership continued for the next 6 decades until 1999, when 70% of Americans still reported having membership. But in the early 2000s, membership in a house of worship began to declining steadily." Gallup noted that downward trend in membership matches a similar trend in which Americans decreasingly express a religious preference. Quote, "Over the past 2 decades, the percentage of Americans who do not identify with any religion has grown from 8% in 1998 to 2000 to 13% in 2008 to 2010, and 21% over the past 3 years," unquote, the research company said. Quote, "As you would be expected, Americans without a religious preference are highly unlikely to belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque, although a small proportion, that's 4% in 2018 to 2020 data, say they do. That figure is down from 10% between 1998 and 2000. The trend against religiosity is expected to continue and to belong to a house of worship." This is quite a worrying trend. Very, very, very worrying, because it's actually a reflection of the society. You know, as has been said, that it's been said that, you know, a society is a reflection of the state of the church. So as you have this LGBT on the ascendancy and all these strange behavior, generation, and all that, clearly it reflects the state of the body of Christ, the state of the church. Because the impact, you know, if the church is really being the salt worth its salt, the impact would have been felt in the communities and in the society in general. You know, just like, you know, for us, those who have been listening to the past few editions of this program, as we've been discussing revival, clearly the effect of revival affects the community. Likewise, the sleepy nature of the lukewarmness of a Christian community also affects a community negatively. So, looking at this American trend, it's not surprising. But that is the American trend. But clearly, I don't think it's any different from Ghana, if ours is not even worse, because we are having a very worrying trend in our country as well, where a lot of the youth these days are not in church. And Sunday morning, when you drive around, it's obvious. You see lots of people out of church, not in church, not even going, no plan of going. So I believe there's a lot more that we can do as believers. You know, there's one thing which sometimes I wonder, because I believe Easter and Christmas, but especially Easter season, is the best time for churches should be doing evangelism in the communities and, you know, the crusades and all. Unfortunately, over the years, we use Easter to still do our conventions, and we reconvene and hear the same old messages again. And we keep enjoying our own Christ that we've met and we know. And we are still not bothered that many out there do not know Christ. So instead of using Easter as a season to go out to really bring, you see, that's the best time to tell people about Christ. Because when you see an unbeliever who is celebrating Easter, and you ask the person, why are you celebrating the Easter? It opens up a whole good conversation to talk about Christ to the person. So the best opportunity witnessing to the unsaved, Easter should have been the perfect time churches should have used. I mean, wouldn't it have been nice when you have entire congregations moving into the communities, you know, winning souls, talking to people. Of, you know, convention, and we convene all the time, and nothing comes out of it. The same old style, the same old lifestyle. We are where we are, and I believe the issue of souls not being saved should begin to be our concern, and it should influence the way we start acting and doing things as Christians. All right, we have 8 Nigerian Christians abducted from church bus and Nigeria issues. At least 8 Christians were abducted by gunmen last Friday whilst traveling on a bus to a church program in the Kaduna states of northwest Nigeria. The church calls for prayer. The victims, members of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, were traveling to prepare for the church's Let's Go A Fishing Easter program. Okay, I like their topic. Let's go fishing. Yes, that's evangelistic program. Easter program in a community when gunmen removed them from their bus and took them away in a vehicle, a church spokesperson told The Punch. A user reportedly posted a picture on Facebook of victims' empty church bus and said all passengers were kidnapped along the Kachia Road. The church bus has an inscription that reads, "The Redeemed Church, Christian Church of God, Region 30, Trinity Sanctuary, Kaduna." And the pastor, Olaitan Olubi, LCCG Head of Media and Public Relations, confirmed the kidnapping. According to the Nigerian news outlet, the pastor said the ministry is working with security agents. The abductees return. A spokesperson for the church told Channel TV that the kidnappers demanded a ransom equivalent to over $130,000. Wow. Nigeria is ranked as the country third most affected by terrorism in the world, according to the Global Terrorism Index. From 2001 to 2019, there were over 22,000 terrorist deaths. Most of these were Christians. It's very serious. Nigeria is the leading country for the number of Christians murdered for their faith each year. Open Doors USA has reported the country is home to over 95 million Christians. Nigeria issues is like it keeps happening, and because of the ransom that sometimes they pay, I mean, they get from the churches or from the system, the government, and also. It keeps happening and happening and happening. Former Episcopal bishop punished for not allowing gay marriages in diocese leaves the denomination. I remember last year when I read this news, I said that, I mean, this pastor has to leave, the bishop, he has to leave this church, because this can't be a church that you should continue to be in. And at least better late than never, he's left. A bishop of the Episcopal Church who was punished for refusing to allow the blessing of same-sex marriages in his diocese has decided to leave the mainline Protestant denomination. William H. Love, former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Albany, was disciplined last year for refusing to enforce a church resolution mandating the blessing of gay marriages in every diocese, including those previously opposed to the practice. In a statement released Wednesday, Love explained that he was leaving the Episcopal Church effective April 2nd and planning to join the Anglican Church in North America, a more theologically conservative denomination. Quote, as a credo Episcopalian with nearly 30 years of ordained ministry as a deacon, priest, and bishop, that was not an easy decision. But given all that has transpired these past couple of years and the constraints placed upon me as a theologically conservative and orthodox bishop within TEC, I believe it is the right decision, unquote, wrote Love. That's his name, Love, his surname. It is my hope and plan to be received into the Anglican Church in North America in the very near future, at which time all the remaining details of what I will be doing and where I will be serving will be shared in a separate announcement. And, you know, as for the church, the Episcopal Church in the U.S.,
I don't think it's even fit being called a church any longer, because it's they've just gone off. It started gradually and now is completely off the course. This LGBT issues running the show there and all that. Okay, and this headline says, same-sex marriage has spread around the globe since Netherlands first 20 years ago. It's been 20 years now since the Netherlands introduced the legalization of same-sex marriage, and since then it has circulated around the globe to nearly 30 nations. It all began exactly 20 years ago when one lesbian couple and three gay couples were married as the Netherlands broke Pandora's box, becoming the first country to allow same-sex marriage, a step that has since been followed by nearly 30 other nations. Since then, thousands of gay and lesbian couples have been married in the Netherlands, representing 1.7% of all marriages, according to the report from Reuters. Quote, about 750 lesbian couples and 620 gay male couples have married on average annually over the last 5 years, and there are now some 20,000 married same-sex couples living in the country, unquote. Same-sex marriage is now legal in 28 countries: Argentina, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Brazil, Britain, Canada, Colombia, Costa Rica, Denmark, Ecuador, Finland, France, Germany, Iceland, Ireland, Luxembourg, Malta, Mexico, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, Uruguay, and the United States. And the ambassador is wishing and hoping and working hard that Ghana too will be part of this list. So we have the Australian ambassador, High Commissioner, visiting the Speaker of Parliament this week, and that's the next news item. Headline says, LGBTQI plus is an abomination that won't be accepted in Ghana, Alban Bagwin tells Australian High Commissioner. And this morning when I listened to the news and the way he spoke, I was impressed. He gave it to him. People just come here and just talk anyhow, impose your negative lifestyles and cultural values on us. And, you know, the previous Speaker of Parliament, Professor Okwei, also opposed it, and this new speaker too is also very firm, and I like the way they've stood their ground in this course. Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagwin says lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex LGBTQI plus practices are an abomination to Ghanaian culture. As such, they will not be accepted in the country. This follows a statement made by the Australian High Commissioner to Ghana, Gregory Andrews, indicating that any attempt by Ghana's parliament to enact or pass legislation to discriminate against the rights of LGBTQI plus community and any form of advocacy will be disappointing. And yeah, obey disappointed. Mr. Andrews stated that Ghanaian culture needs to accept people for who they are by respecting their rights without causing any harm to people indulging in the act. Paying a courtesy call on the Speaker of Parliament on Thursday,
He said, "We believe that to protect human rights, sometimes our culture needs to adapt." Adapt, okay. And that doesn't mean being a different culture. It means accepting people for who they are, especially when they are not causing harm to anyone else. Unquote. Quote again, that is why on the LGBTQ plus issues, Australia will readily encourage Ghana's parliament not to pass legislation that would discriminate the LGBTQ plus community or remove their rights or to make it illegal for people to advocate for their human rights, unquote. In his response, Alban Bagbin said parliament will not, underline not, pass any legislation that would infringe on people's human rights. However, he noted that the House will not legalize homosexuality. According to him, LGBTQI plus practices are contrary to the customs of Ghana, therefore will not be accepted in the country. Quote, "I want that we have a very good constitution." I like that. "Our laws abhors any forms of discrimination. We also have the decision of the European Court on Human Rights to guide us in whatever we do. And so on the issue of LGBTQI, definitely we already have a legal framework within which to work. We will not legislate to infringe on the human rights of people, but we will legislate to ensure that culture and traditions are not violated. This is something that we see as an abomination. It is something that we abhor, and therefore we will not continue to go according to their culture," he told Australian High Commissioner. And I think in the audio, when you listen to the audio, he even went on to say that since we also cannot go and dictate to them in Europe and elsewhere to engage in polygamy. So it's like, well, since we can't dictate to them what to do with their culture, they shouldn't come and dictate to us what to do with our culture. And I really like the response he gave. That's a good one there for him. This news item is very, very interesting. The next one, I saw it some years back, and it's even now more amazing than I first saw a few years ago. Almost half of Japanese single adults under 35 are virgins now. When I saw it some years back, the question that first came to mind is, you know, these people are largely atheist and Buddhist and Shintoist and, you know, other stuff. Christianity is barely 3% in Japan. And for these people, without the Holy Spirit in them, are able to exercise self-control. And I just oppose it with our culture here, our life here in Ghana, where now even people in class 6 and GHS1 are all engaging in sex and all that. It's amazing how we will claim we know God, we are Christians, and yet we cannot control ourselves, and those without the Holy Spirit are able to exercise self-control. It's a mystery. I mean, let me just read this. It says, Japan is dealing with a shrinking population. Japan's fertility rate is 1.4. One of the lowest in the world. One of the problems behind the shrinking numbers was recently highlighted in a study that has found that a large number of Japanese adults are not in relationships, are not looking for relationships, and many have never been in a sexual relationship. 70% of unmarried men and 60% of unmarried women between the ages of 18 and 34 aren't currently in relationships, and 42% of men and 44% of women are virgins. 42% and 44%. In a country where Christianity is just 3%. I mean, just look at the numbers. And we come here, and even in churches where people are speaking in tongues, the youth fornication is high in numbers. I mean, how, I mean, I think about this, and I mean, the first time I saw this news, about 4 years or so ago, the numbers were even lower. So now it's even gone higher. They've increased in the numbers. Those who are staying, I mean, without any relationships and all that. And whilst elsewhere, the numbers are going down. More people are getting into sexual lifestyles and all that. They are able to increase in their numbers positively. So the first question I ask myself then, and I'm still asking now, is how can it be that culture is able to control them so well? I mean, I've been to that country before, and their culture is something else. I mean, a very positive culture where yes is yes, no is no. But I mean, the fact that culture can let people stay chest and do right, what is right. And then we look at ours here, where predominantly Christians, as we say, and yet the spirit in us is not able to control us. So how can culture be strong somewhere to the point where it makes people do the right thing? And we, who claim to be Christians, the spirit in us cannot even help us to do the right thing, supposedly, because we should have been living. This statistic should be common in Christian circles rather, but not in circles where they are not even Christians. You see, so it shows there is something wrong somewhere with the Christian youth. I mean, talk to any pastor who is sincere and he'll tell you. I remember one friend of mine, I'm sure by now he's listening, Pastor Henry. He went to a church some time back to preach, and the Lord showed him how there's a lot of fornication in the church, and he was talking to the pastor, and the pastor just lamented, as for the fornication, it's here. I mean, just like that. It's like, how, you know? And so the pastor sees it as normal. I mean, that's how serious it is. And talk to most pastors. I have another pastor, a bishop friend in Accra, who told me that now doing marriage counseling, he's even concluded this. I mean, question the line of questioning and all during the counseling, is giving up, because virtually almost all marriages he officiates or doing the counseling, the final stages of counseling, they are already going out. I mean, they are fornicating and all. You see, and it's now a standard in the body of Christ. A standard in the body of Christ, where fornication is almost like a standard, cohabiting is almost like a standard. But people who don't have any Holy Spirit in them can say no, and they stick to it, and indeed no is no. This is a mystery. It's a big mystery. It shows that we have a lot to work on as Christians. The Christian youth, I mean church leaders and deacons and all. No, this issue of, I mean, promiscuous lifestyle in the body of Christ, the youth especially, there should be an address to it. It has to be looked at. Because the first question is it that they are not saved? I mean, what really is the issue? Where is the power, the transforming power? So how can they claim to be in Christ? And yes, though, this predominant lifestyle is not that it's a mistake, but it's a lifestyle. So it's like a standard. Let me finish with this last two items. New York sued, the state of New York sued for not offering X gender option in public assistance and food stamp registration. So New York is facing the lawsuit for who identify as non-binary and argue that they face discrimination because the state requires them to indicate that they are either male or female to receive public welfare benefits. The fact that the Empire State does not provide an X gender option is discriminatory based on gender identity. The claimants argued that as they filed on Monday against the state and local authorities that ran public assistance. 2019, New York began allowing X gender option on birth certificates and the same has been promised as for the driver's licenses. But the plaintiffs assert that state computer system used by the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance is outdated because it compels people who say their gender is non-binary to lie when applying when applying for certain services such as food stamps, Medicaid, and other forms of public assistance. I have this one says, quote, intend to public assistance for help, unquote, says Julius Donahue, one of three complainants or plaintiffs in the lawsuit. Quote, I encountered more barriers to accessing help than others solely because I am non-binary, and I was forced to choose between foregoing emergency support with medical coverage, the emotional harm of being misgendered at such a vulnerable time. No New Yorker should have to make this choice. So in other words, his ex on his birth certificate or in other documents, but in seeking government assistance, is only MNF, male and female. And that is a border. So they also need the X to be added. You know, this X thing, it is non-binary, so they don't see themselves. I mean, neither male nor female, they just exist. And some call themselves as fluid. They are fluid. So today they can be male, tomorrow they can be female, another time they can be X. So they need the X category. This is the world we live in, where things are just going off the board every passing day. Indeed, this generation is something else. This generation is beyond. You know, you look at some of the news, and this week I saw one celebrity. What's the name? I've forgotten the name. And she's saying that she's also I've forgotten the word. Now they have so many words for themselves, and so she can fall in love with anything. So even a tree or anything. I mean, you know, there's something wrong with this generation. Something definitely wrong with this generation. Okay, so let me have this last news item and then we proceed. Nike files copyright lawsuit over Satan Shoes collaboration with rapper Lil Nas X. And I believe some of you saw or have seen this Satan Shoes with 666 on it, and Luke 10:18, I believe, written on it, and it made a lot of trends in the course of the week online and all that. And the Nike shoe company has filed a suit because to them it is affecting their brand. It's as though they did it. Interestingly, let me read this. What it says: Nike has filed a federal copyright infringement lawsuit in response to the Satan Shoes, quote unquote, Satan Shoes collaboration between New York based company MSCHF and rapper Lil Nas X, the artist behind the popular song Old Town Road. Nike filed a complaint against MSCHF on Monday in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of New York after the duo announced the release of their modified Nike Air Max 97S. The shoes are all black and decorated with a pentagram pendant. They also have a reference of scripture, Luke 10:18, in red, which says, "And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." According to the website, which sells the sneakers for $1,018, the shoes also contain a drop of human blood in the sole of each pair. A total of 666 pairs are available. A number widely associated with the devil, and even 666 is also written on at the back part of the shoe as well. And you know, the 21-year-old openly gay rapper, whose real name is Montreal Lamar Hill, was not named in the lawsuit. Nike filed a trademark infringement and dilution complaint against MSCHF related to the Satan Shoes, Nike told the Fox Business in a statement. And you know, so a judge ordered that they should stop selling it. But I saw that news, and I see a message in there for us, for the church, for the Christians. You know, we've forgotten that the time will come where we are going to have something called 666 coming. I mean, of course, it's in the Bible. And, you know, these are things which should send reminders to us. And indeed, the Luke 10:18 is virtually going to happen. That part where Jesus says he saw Satan fall like lightning. That part is Revelation 12, where Satan is going to be cast down with his demons onto the earth eventually. And you know, these are all things which are gradually we are getting to those parts, those stages. And the blood in every drop of shoe as they are selling totally tells a reminder of persecution that is coming against the church. You know, this is a clear message to the church, to Christians, that the evil days are coming. Satan is really going to fall and increase. Darkness is coming. Persecution is coming. Blood is going to be spilled. The sisters is coming. You know, all these are messages encoded. It looks like news, ordinary news. But, you know, God uses other things to draw our attention in case we forget. And that's the message we can find from it. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I will be back with this song.
Love, no greater love.
Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. Tonight's edition is a special one for the Easter, and indeed the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus and what can make me whole again, and that's the power of the blood. Indeed, this week I saw this verse. You know, the Bible is such an interesting thing that you can read the Bible as many times and you see a verse and it's like, ah, how come you've never seen this verse before? And it's very interesting. The message in there that the Holy Spirit gave me is quite interesting there. You know, let me read from Matthew 28 from verse 13. Okay, saying, say ye, disciples came by night and stole him away whilst we slept. And then goes on to say that, and if this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and secure you. And goes on to say that, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. And went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, listen to verse 17, that's the key verse. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And it's like, wow, this is referring to the 11 disciples. They knew Jesus, they were with him before he died. Is resurrected, they were told, now they've seen him, they worshipped him. But so it's like they were worshipping Jesus but still doubted. But some doubted. So it's not only Thomas who remember, they always say Thomas, the doubting Thomas. Okay, yes, at one point Thomas was the one asking, but at a point it wasn't only Thomas who was doubting. Some, so we don't know the number, but at least more than one doubted. So they are kneeling and worshiping him and still in their hearts and their minds, they are still doubting. This is the strongest indication to show that you can still be in Christ. You can claim to be in Christ. You can call yourself a Christian and still doubt the power of the cross and still doubt the efficacy of the blood. And it seems that is the problem of a lot of Christians, especially, you know, when you need to believe, you believe to accept Christ by faith, you believe he died for you and all that, he washed away your sins, you accept him, you confess with your mouth and all that. But sometimes as we progress in life, you know, we get good jobs, we start getting money, we get highly educated, we start analyzing and being analytical of issues. So this Jesus dying, the blood, the cross, is it not some fairy tale? You know, yes, we are still Christians, we are still speaking in tongues, we are still going to church, yeah, I mean, even be a pastor, but still deep within you have some doubts about this whole Christianity thing, have some doubts about this whole blood. I mean, to you, it doesn't really connect well, this cross story, you know. So, you see, let's look at a situation where these disciples saw Jesus physically and still they were doubting. How much more as we believe by faith, we've not seen Jesus physically, but by faith we believe he died for us. So that means we even need extra faith to believe the whole Jesus thing, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, from the birth first, the virgin birth, his life, his miracles, his teachings, his death, his the crucifixion, the death, going, and then the resurrection, and then ascending, and then his promises. I mean, to believe all these things, you need a very strong faith. Because even those who saw him physically before he died and after he resurrected still doubted when they saw him resurrect after he's resurrected. So that means we need a very strong faith to believe what we believe in. And by this I mean the cross, the blood, the power that is associated with it, the work of the cross, the power of the blood and all. We need a strong faith. And you see, our faith should not waver. We need to hold on to our faith. We need to hold on to what we believed in at first. Because you see, you would encounter people who would try to punch holes in your faith, try to raise illogical arguments, try to, you know, downplay this whole thing as just some, you know, cave story type of thing. But you have to decide that you know what you believe in and you hold on to it. So the issue of doubting, that temptation may come, or for perhaps you are listening and already you have this doubt raging in your mind for some time or whatever, but let's hold on to our faith. You see, when you start doubting, then you give room for the devil to start eroding your faith that is left. And if care is not taken, eventually you even say that you don't believe in Christ again. I mean, so there are people who are Christians or were Christians, and after a while, they even raise questions about this whole thing and they say they don't believe in it again. Because doubt starts and then it undermines their belief system and eventually they leave the faith. So we have to guard our hearts seriously, jealously. Whatever we believe in, let's guard it seriously. The reason why I'm saying this is that, you know, under normal circumstances, under normal conditions, it's so easy to say you believe in Jesus. But when the storms arise, situations turn unstable, pressure is on, persecution is on, then the doubts can start rising again. The thoughts of doubting begins to come up again. Is it really worth believing in this whole thing? Is it really worth it? not just some fiction story or something, you know, the thoughts. And the devil is also good at pushing thoughts, you know, he'll be bringing all the angles. So these are the times to strengthen our beliefs in whatever we've been taught over the years as Christians, for some from Sunday school, childhood, through the SU day, secondary school, to whichever age you find yourself in now, whichever level you find yourself in, let's guard our faith. Let's guard what we believe in, because it's just a matter of time. Situations can come that will question your faith, and it's like try to let you doubt this Jesus thing. Is it true? Is it true? Especially when you find yourself in situations where you pray and you are not hearing anything. I mean, it's like, and pressure is on. You know, you begin to question. So that's why you've had people who were once Christians, and after some time, they even say they don't believe in God again. They become atheists. So, it's possible for someone to move from knowing God to the point where he doesn't believe in God again. And you shouldn't just look at such people and say that, oh, as for me, it can never happen to me. No. Rather, when you see these things or you hear such things, what you should learn from it is to learn and know that you have to strengthen your foundation and strengthen your beliefs and strengthen your faith. Because when the storms come, it can shake. But you see, the Bible says that the one who builds his house upon the rock, when the storms come, it doesn't collapse. The one on the sand collapses. It's unfortunate, but a lot of Christians are building their faith on sandy grounds. And eventually, it's unfortunate, but when the storms start rising, their buildings, their faith will collapse. It cannot stand the temptations and the trials ahead. When the pressure of the system increases, the persecution increases, it cannot stand it, because doubts will come. And when the option is given, would you be a Christian or would you say you denounce Christ and save your life? It's like, well, what's the big deal? Let me just save myself and save my life. And that is how it is. So when you read a verse like this, that's even the disciples doubted when they saw Jesus. Some doubted. We should learn from it and know that we should grow strongly in the Lord now that all is well, quote unquote, all is well. I mean, normal conditions as it is. Let's strengthen our faith. Let's strengthen ourselves and grow in the Lord and in the Word. You know, failure to do so means when a time comes, when situations are not favorable, we would also doubt that indeed Jesus died on the cross to save us. We will doubt if there's even heaven. You know, I've heard, I mean, people talk about stuff like that before, that they even doubt if even hell is real. I remember the first time I read about this bishop in the US, and he was saying that God will not take anyone to hell. No, he's too good to do that. So, no, you see, hell is just a figment of people's imagination. So, there's no hell for anyone. And, you know, and you wonder, how can it be? Started well, but eventually twisted things and now holding on to a different gospel altogether. You see, so it's very dangerous to be too overconfident. Let's humble ourselves and know that we can also doubt sometimes if care is not taken. And it all depends on our foundation, the foundation upon which we build our faith on. How well do you know God? How well do you know Christ for yourself? How do you know Christ? Is it through enhanced teaching? So there are Christians who know God through their pastors. So it's like they can say, the God of my pastor, I cast you out. The God of my pastor, come and save me. I mean, how? Know God for yourself. Know Christ for yourself. So, if your pastor is not there, what happens? You know, let's grow to the point where we know Christ for ourselves. We are not under the control off. It's like, so it's a proxy. We know God through, like a proxy system. It's, we know God through our pastor. So it's what our pastor tells us about God that we know. We don't know God for ourselves. We don't read the word of God for ourselves. We don't really have a relationship with Christ. But we go to church. In such situations, when things turn against us, we will doubt it, because your whole knowledge of Christ is based on someone's experience or someone's message to you. So assuming that someone wasn't telling you the truth, then what happens? You know, so these are the dangers when it comes to Christians who are not growing in the Lord and are not making any effort to grow in the Lord, are not worried about it. They are comfortable not knowing God themselves. It's very dangerous, and especially in the times we are finding ourselves in, and we are getting into, where evil is increasing gradually and is going to increase more and more and more and more. The reason being that when those evil days arise and you are not well grounded, you will doubt your salvation. You will doubt the cross. You will doubt the power of the blood. You will doubt your Christianity. You doubt everything you've been told, and you will leave the faith. You see, let's be very worried about this, because, you know, Jesus talks of the fact that the love of many will grow cold. And, you know, if your people's love will grow cold, then it presupposes that, you know, Matthew 24 verse 12, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, you know, evil days are coming. We're already in evil days, but we've not seen anything yet. Evil days are actually coming, where demonic activity is going to multiply multiple fold. And the love of many shall, I mean, look at the word, the love of many shall wax cold. Some versions say the love of many will grow cold. You know, if many, you know, one thing that worries me about Matthew 24 is whenever Jesus is talking about the church or the body of Christ or the Christians, the word is many. Many shall be deceived. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Many, 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 many. And is it so? It really gives us the caution not to joke with the season that we find ourselves in, especially when it's almost clear. I mean, that these are the days Jesus was talking about there. A whole lot of things confirm it. But if he describes the period to be a period where many will be deceived, the love of many will grow cold, many false prophets will arise and will deceive many, and all, it means then we have to be careful. We are in a season where we have to, it's like you are walking on very slippery ground, where your footsteps, you know, like walking on icy road. You know, I've seen videos of people walking on icy hill or icy roads, and it's like, there's one I saw sometime on YouTube, it's like people just cannot go home. You go high and then it's like you just slide back. Ooh. It's like the road is so, the snow fell and then it became ice. So now walking is now a problem. You see, when you walk under such conditions, you just can't walk the way you know you walk, and you know you're styling and you just move around freely, throwing your hands and, you know, doing your galley walkings. You fall, because the ground you are walking on is very slippery. So you have to be strategic in the way you walk. That's exactly the season we are finding ourselves in, where we should know that this is the season where deception is going to be the order of the day. This is the season where the love of many is going to grow cold. In as much as, I mean, revival is coming and all that, many too will be leaving the faith. As many are coming in, many, and that's one of the, these are the worrying things that should cause us to really stabilize ourselves well and grounded. Because if Jesus says, I mean, the first shall be the last shall be the first, these things are all worrying, because we're Christians for 30 years, 40 years, 35 years, 25 years, 18 years, and all, and then at the latter end, they will leave the faith. And then new people, rather, who the weed smokers and the people who we've ignored and we've branded as these are people who are going to hell and all that, they rather the revival will come and they'll be trooping in, and they are the ones who will be saved to come and join the few who will stay, the old who will still be on fire and stay. Is it so? We are reaching a point where the issue of doubts, doubting our calling, doubting our belief, doubting our faith, doubting Christ, doubting the cross, doubting the tongues we speak, doubting everything, doubting God, doubting even the rapture, doubting Jesus will come again, doubting heaven, doubting hell. You know, the devil will push these buttons of doubt across board, various things. I mean, so eventually the danger is you still find yourself, call yourself as a Christian, but like the disciples in Matthew 28:17, you are seeing Jesus, you are worshiping him, but you still doubt. You still doubt. So you go to church, but you still doubt. You are in church, you are still doubting. You are praying, but you still doubt. You know, the Bible is clear about it. A double-minded man is unstable in all this way. So once you get into that mode of being a doubter, let me put it that way, clearly your stability as a Christian is very, very, very shaky. And this is one key thing I believe we should factor in our message for this season, where we remind ourselves that we should not doubt. We should hold on to our faith, strengthen our beliefs in what we know. Because see, in the seasons we are in, the season we are in and we are entering, the power of the blood is going to be a very great resource that we will need. Because as demonic activity increases, the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, these are our two weapons. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So if the devil can cause you to doubt these things, then what is your defense? What do you have again to defend yourself? What do you have to attack the enemy? What do you have as your protection? You know, so it's very important we don't undermine these things we've been taught over the years and just see it as some child's play, some story, some fiction. No. If you believe in Christ, then believe to the end. Believe everything across. If you believe he came as a virgin birth, you believe his ministry, you believe what he preached in, you know, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, the Beatitudes, and all these powerful teachings he did in Matthew 5, 6, 7, and all the various miracles he did and taught and all. If you believe all these, you believe he died on the cross, you believe he resurrected. If you believe all these things, then hold on to that belief. Don't let anyone deceive you to doubt it. Don't let anyone question these things and poke holes in your beliefs to cause you to doubt what you've believed in for years. Because we are entering a period where if you undermine your belief in the faith that you have, then eventually you would fall away. I'll be back after this song. Felt so much alive.
cross, he had set me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss.
Crucified with Christ. This is by Craig Dean, and, no, Phillips Craig and Dean, three friends. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. You know, there's this part of us that, yes, Christ died for us and all that, but we also have to understand that we have a role to play. And these are the parts where we struggle to accept that fact that we also have a role to play. And because we sometimes think it's an easy way, so just come to Christ and then leave anyhow and anything goes type of thing. But unfortunately, that is not how it should be. I like portions of this lyrics. Let me just go through it briefly. As I look back on what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I choose to pay, and to think I ignored what really mattered because I thought the sacrifice would be too great. But when I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took that to survive, I've never felt so much alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. No, sorry, not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength, but his. There is no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hand surrender to his piercing purpose that holds me to the cross that sets me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss. And with his suffering, I identify. And by his resurrection power, I am alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. No, not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength, but his. There is no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. And I will offer all I have, so that his cross is not in vain. For I found to live is Christ, and to die is truly gain. What a beautiful lyric that we have for this song. You know, there is also a price to pay, and that's what we have to understand. And, you know, we have to know that as part of being in Christ, we also have to take up our cross, and it's a challenge. Luke 9:23 says that, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is not a pleasant thing, but not take a cross once, and he said this is daily. Every day you wake up in the morning, you take a cross to follow Christ. You know, a price to pay. Take up your cross and follow him every day. And that normally doesn't sound too good. So we normally want to avoid that. But let me read the Matthew version. Matthew 10. Let me start from verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Let me repeat. Verse 38. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross is not and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Is not worthy of me. This evening, ask yourself, are you worthy of following Christ? Are you worthy of him? You see, in Matthew 16:24, he says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, that denial, that self-denial, is not an easy process. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to achieve that self-denial and take up his cross and follow. And so we have people who have been in Christ for years. They will say, I've been a Christian from childhood, from secondary school, from this, from that, and that. But the lifestyle, that self-denial is missing in action. They are not ready to take up a cross and follow him. Of course, we are not talking of taking a cross that is done at the wood village for you to carry, fiscal cross, no, but a price to pay, a sacrifice to make, and it symbolizes to the cross. We have a price to pay. We have to tie ourselves of some things if truly want to follow Christ. You know, to follow Christ, he's done the greater part of the whole thing for us by dying on the cross for us. Ours is to believe. So if by the grace of God, we are not doubting it and we are still believing it, thank God. But then let's go beyond the believing and also pay a price which is far less than we die on the cross. ourselves. Ours to deny ourselves of the worldly things and things which we know are wrong, and that not the flesh, put it under control, and all these things as we are led by the Spirit to deny ourselves of, take up our cross and follow Him. And this lifestyle is a daily walk in the Lord. It's not a one-time thing, a daily walk. That is how we should live as Christians, where we exhibit the Christ-like character, where people see Christ in us. No, we have to get to the point where when you go to a place and you are, someone comes to ask of you at the office or at your school or wherever, people will say that, okay. It's like they associate you with, that guy, Osofo, mame. You know, people should be able to know you as a Christian. But for some Christians, I mean, they go to a place and you hide, you are operating like BNI, no, this is God, they've changed your name, they are now National Intelligence Bureau or so now NIB. But most people know BNI. You act like a secret agent, CIA type of, you know, CID type of operative undercover, national security operative undercover type of thing. People don't even know you well. They don't know you're a Christian. You know, when you are, even Christians are being bashed and insulted and bastardized and all that, you pretend it because it's like you want to save your skin and act like one of, you know, church there once never be, then I also go and pass there. You know, you try to make yourself like, oh, it's those people, those Christians that they are talking about, me, I'm not one of them. You know, so people don't, your friends don't know you as a serious Christian because you don't want them to know you as such. Your fear is when they know you are a serious Christian, then that means then some things you do, some lifestyles you exhibit at work or school, you'd have to stop them. And because you don't want to stop them, so when you are with Christians who know you as then you pretend to be a serious Christian. But when you are with your normal colleagues at work or school or wherever, you try to play the lukewarm card. You are deceiving yourself, you know, because if we are in Christ, we should let people know we are in Christ. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of who we are. We should not be ashamed of the cross. If people ask you, are you a Christian? Yes, you are a Christian. What can they do to you? You see, if now, when there's everything is normal life, we go and come, move freely, you are even afraid to declare your position as a Christian, then when a knife is, people are holding machetes and guns, and they're asking, where are the Christians here? Is that when you can stand and say you are a Christian? When now that nobody is going to cut your head, nobody is going to shoot you, nobody is going to beat you, they are asking where the Christians are, you hide. Even when nobody is going to slap you, you hide, that you pretend you are not a Christian. When Christians are being assaulted, then you are giggling, you are laughing as if you are not one of them. And then even you also are giving in some uppercut punches, also adding your own, so you are attacking the Christians as well, so that you are seen as, oh, you are not one of them. Then when that one, the time comes when they ask him, where are the Christians? Show by hand, if you're a Christian, come forward. At that moment, is that when you can stand as a Christian? Stop, you can't. You know, you see, these are things which you just can't be bold overnight. No. Your faith and spiritual strength and boldness, these things just don't happen overnight like magic. No, you grow it grows. So it's like somebody who goes to the gym pumping, you know, all the various biceps and doing. So you can't go to a gym just today or this morning, Saturday morning, you walk in a gym, then you tell the gym instructor, I want biceps to increase by 2 inches, so by 10 a.m your biceps should. There's no magic any gym instructor can do on your body that can give you 2 inches extra biceps on your arms. Nobody can do that for you. There is no drink you can drink magic overnight. You just drink. Oh, shit. It's like, unless in a cartoon, that things just happen, they grows overnight. I mean, suddenly like that. But in real life, it takes process to, a period to grow. Be it physical or spiritual, I mean, things just don't happen suddenly. There's a process of growth. Growth takes place over a period. So if we don't start growing in the Lord now, we don't start growing our faith now, we will get to the point where we will deny Christ. We will deny Christ. So it's like when, you know, Peter, I mean, just imagine what happened to Peter. You were one of his followers. Hey, no. Even a little girl cry, a little maid says, no. Fine, it's prophecy that had to happen, but it happened physically. He denied Christ 3 times. And this is Jesus, Peter, who knew Jesus physically. He knew him 101. He knew him, he saw him, he ate, they all ate, they were moving for the three and a half years. He knew Jesus, he had a relationship with him, physical relationship, he knew him. How much more we, who is by faith, that we know him? Then they bring a gun, they say, do you know him? Say yes, and then we kill you, or say you don't know him, and then you go and save your life. You see, so we have to grow our faith to the point where, as it's happening in northern Nigeria, where people are being given this option, deny Christ or we kill you. And there are countless cases. I mean, it's happening now. I've seen videos, people being killed. And they stand. They don't deny Christ. They stand to the end. See, so when you see such people, you realize, see, when you see those people, it wasn't just one day that suddenly they just decided, no. As for that, I won't deny Christ. That seed of building their faith started earlier. You see, so that's the essence of growing in the Lord. And I believe this period of Easter celebrations should be a time to reset our love for God, reset in our prayer. Let's reset our desire for spiritual things, our reset for the word of God. You know, we need to reset our lives. Virtual is like, just, you know, like you format a hard drive to just speed up everything again, or factory reset. You take your phone, it's become too slow. Sometimes you just have to do a factory reset so that it goes as back to the way you bought it. We have to reset our Christian lives again. Let's reset back to the basics, where we had our first love, where we had a good prayer life, a good Bible reading life, our faith was strong, where we were able to overcome sin, where we were in love with God's work, we loved everything godly, and we shunned sin. And over the period, we've gone down. But let's reset ourselves back to those times again. It's very important, because you see, I don't know how to explain, but things are moving very fast. Let me put it that way. Behind the scenes, a lot. I watched one interview of one Christian man, and he interviewed some Satanist high level ones, and they told him that you people are expecting the Great Awakening. And this is what we talk about in the last row, the revival, the Great Awakening, the final one. They know it. You see, this is the amazing part of it. They, in the occult world, they know a final revival is coming. And it's amazing that even pastors are not expecting it. Pastors don't even know about it. Christians don't know and expect anything. You see, so this is how uneven the playing field has become. Our enemy knows what is coming to benefit us, and has been able to scheme so well to keep us in the dark so that we are ignorant of what is coming. Because, you see, he knows that it's to our advantage against him. Because when the revival comes, we are empowered against his kingdom. Souls will be won massively. People, bondages will be broken. People will be saved and all that. He knows it. And the last thing the devil would want the Christians to have, the power for the Christians to have, is power to win souls massively from his kingdom. Because him is very, very close. He knows how close the time is. So it's like when the game is getting to a finishing part, and all the way the tension is high, everybody wants to keep your margins. If you are leading, you want to keep leading. That's exactly what is happening in the spiritual realm. So the devil knows the game. He knows the timing. So these people told this man that, yes, we are expecting the great awakening and the final revival. We too, we are expecting the black awakening. The black awakening. And you see, this is exactly what Isaiah 60 talks about. Isaiah 60 verse 2 and 3, where darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Where evil is going to increase. Demonic activity will increase. And this, they told the man that, We can smell the blood of Christians. When they see a Christian, they can smell the blood of Christians. They know the difference. They know the difference. You see, so day to day are waiting. They have their numbers. They are waiting for to be empowered by more demonic activity at the right time. So they, whilst we are waiting for our final praying for a final revival, their great awakening, day to they are waiting for their black awakening. So it tells you the times we are in. The season we are in is not ordinary at all. I mean, it's sad when, you know, people are seeing it as normal. I wake up in the morning as if normal, nothing usual, unusual. The season is the same as it used to be 2019, 2018. I mean, the season has changed. Complete change. We've entered a new phase virtually. And I keep saying this thing here that you see, failure, the biggest mistake any Christian can make is failure to identify a change in season. Because when the season changes and you fail to adjust to it, or you fail to take advantage of it, or you fail to catch it, you'll be operating in the old season, old school, old season. So whilst a new season has come, it's like a new constitution has come. As a lawyer, a new law has come. A law has been amended. When you go to court, you are still holding an old law to go and use for your case. You lose. So whilst the season has changed and things are at another level, things are being operated at another frequency, you will still be operating in an old frequency. And at that old frequency, your enemy doesn't care about you because the game has changed. They've taken the game to another level. And that's exactly what is happening. We have to be alert spiritually and identify the change in the seasons that have come and start operating at that level. Because if we think, oh, it's like the normal time, we know normal, we would, by the time we would realize that the season has changed, we get to know that, oh, the season changed earlier, months or a few years earlier, and we didn't catch it. So by the time we will get to know the season has changed, it's like we are too late, sort of. So you have a lot to catch up if you really want to be serious at that time. And that's the reason why it's very important we renew our relationship, and so that the Holy Spirit, we are operating at the optimum level, the correct level with the Holy Spirit. Is it because the frequency at which you operate something, a machine, a device, the frequency you operate with, makes a lot of difference. You know, in radio, you have shortwave. I mean, these days, you don't have shortwave in Ghana. I mean, but years back where GBC was operating on SW1, SW2, shortwave frequency, that's where you get the VOA and those foreign news and things. And then later, before FM started coming in Ghana and all. But you see, the frequency levels vary. So there's a frequency at which some type of machines can operate at. High frequencies, you know, when you sit in a plane, they'll tell you, put your phone on flight mode because it can interfere with the navigational systems when they are taking off for their landing and all those things. You know, because the frequencies can interfere with the control tower and the pilot's communication and all that. So it depends on the frequencies which you operate at. That determines the information you have access to. So if you're able to tap into, let's say, the frequency in which the pilot is communicating with the control tower, you hear the communication, what they are saying. You hear the communication, but as to whether it means anything to you, that's another thing. I remember some years back, I was sitting somewhere doing a transit at an airport in Indiana, and I had to sleep over at the airport. So where I was sitting, for whatever reason, they've connected the small speaker at the top there, so you can hear the control tower communications. It wasn't anything secret, so they've allowed it. So you can hear the communication, so the pilots talking to the control tower. And it's like, the truth is, a lot of the things you hear, it's meaningless, because they are speaking in their Roger that, I mean, Alpha this, I mean, it's their language. So you hear it, it means nothing to me. You are sitting there, you are hearing them talking, but what use can I put to these things? It's of no use to me. So, because they are operating in their language and their frequency. You see, it's the same thing. When you are at a certain frequency and you tap into the right channel of which you understand what is happening, then you can take advantage of it. And that's why we are at a point where we need to operate at the right frequency with the Holy Spirit, so that we can hear Him, we can discern. And there's one prayer we should start praying seriously if you have not, for the gift of discernment. You know, virtually, I would dare say that discernment should be the most valuable gift. When Jesus says that deception will be high in the times prior to His coming, that should tell us that you need, it's just like bullets are being fired all around, you need a bulletproof system. And discernment is the key thing we need in this season where deception is massive and is even going to increase more. We need discernment. And you see, you can only have discernment when you're operating with the Holy Spirit. You see, so these are the times where we need to operate at the right level with the Holy Spirit, in obedience, in following what He says, in hearing what He says, in guiding us. Do, don't go, don't go. If there was ever a time that we would desire to hear from God, this is the season we are entering, or the season we are in now. Because to operate without hearing from your control tower, in this case the Holy Spirit, is virtually, you are a pilot flying without hearing, you've been cut off from your control tower. You are flying into disaster, because you don't know, you can really run into something else. And it's so critical. So critical. And that is the essence of these reminders this evening, encouraging ourselves, especially in these seasons that we find ourselves. I'll be back. Let's listen to this one and continue from there. The Power of the Cross by Heather Hadley.
Your face, every
Very beautiful song by Heather Hadley. I just love the songs. The words are something else. It's a whole sermon on its own. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of all my sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now the daylight flees, and now the ground beneath quakes at its maker, bows his head, curtain torn in two. Dead are raised to life, finished the victory cry. This the power of the cross, and Christ became sin for us. He took the blame and bore the wrath, and we stand forgiven at the cross. And oh, to see, I mean, this is the beautiful part. I mean, oh, to see my name written in the wounds. For through your suffering, I am free. And death is crushed to death, and life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. And this the power of that old rugged cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. We stand forgiven at the cross. And as we talk about the fact that we have to restart our lives, restart our relationship with Him, it doesn't matter the sin you are being weighed down under, the lifestyle, the habits, the difficulty you are struggling with. It's time to look at the cross. Because that is the essence of the cross, to set us free. And there's still room at the cross to forgive, no matter the sin. There's still room to forgive you. Do not rule yourself out. Still come back. He's willing to forgive you. Still come back to Jesus. He's willing to forgive you. It doesn't matter how far you've been away. It doesn't matter how low you've gone. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. No matter your situation, He's still calling you back. He's still ready to welcome you. The power of the cross still stands and is still available. The power is still available today to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you of all your sins and to make you whole again, to restore you and to help you to restart your Christian life again. So for you struggling, you think you backslided, you've been lukewarm, your prayer life, your whole Christian life has turned upside down, you are just confused, you think there's no hope, you are just giving up in the faith, you are just throwing in the towel, you may even be considering suicide, you think life is just not worth it again because Christianity is not really what you expect, you are not, you know, it's like everything has just not worked well. The church has failed you, everyone you know has failed you, and you think it's not worth it any longer. Hold on and get back to the cross again. I mean, this is a personal relationship affair. Talk to Him. He's ready to hear you. He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to help you restart your life again on a positive note. Do not throw in the towel. Do not quit. Do not leave the faith. Do not leave the Christian journey. Yes, it may be difficult. It may have been difficult. Things haven't gone the way you want it to be. But do not leave the faith. Hold on to your faith and talk to God. He's willing to forgive you. And it's very important we restart our Christian life. We restart our relationship with Him. forget about all that has happened, the sin, the failures, the disappointments. Yes, you failed him, you've disappointed, you know, you've made promises, you will not do this again, and you've gone back into it, lifestyles which you know is wrong, you've gone back into it. There's still room to receive forgiveness from Christ, from God. He's ready to forgive you. The power of the cross, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, is to our advantage. And this is what we believe in. This is what makes us clean. Talk to him this evening and restart your Christian life again. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the situation. There is still forgiveness. He is still ready to forgive you. And I believe as you kickstart or you restart your Christian life again this Easter season, you would set your mind on growing in the Lord. I mean, if you are struggling, prayer, the word of God, and all these things, seek help. You can send me a message, WhatsApp 0244-638-757, 0244-638-757, and let's have a chat. And it's very important you keep the faith. We keep the faith growing. You see, we have to, let's renew our mind to the fact that growth is not a luxury, it's a must. We have to grow in the Lord. Where we, it's like you have to grow. We have no option than to grow, because failure to grow in the Lord means it's going to be a negative thing for us when difficult times come. And for the difficult times, surely they are coming. Persecution is coming. Difficult times are coming. The world is going to get darker. Sin is going to increase to levels we've not seen before. For that, I can assure you. I can assure you for that one. But our hope is in the Lord. And our strength is in his name. The power of the cross is where we derive our authority and we derive our mandate to walk by faith. And let's hold on to that faith that we derive from the cross and the power that we have in the blood of Jesus. I believe as we turn back to him this season, this renewed relationship that we've started with him this evening will grow stronger every day as we spend time in the word every day and prayer every day. Let's renew our minds that we can make it. Let's set heaven as our target. Because, you see, heaven is closer to us than it has ever been to, I mean, at any point in time since we became Christians. We are closer to heaven now than we've ever been since we became Christians. Because here is the point that we are in Christ and the ultimate reward is heaven. And if you give up, how then can you achieve it? If you give up, how then can you reach that ultimate reward and ultimate destination? We have to struggle through the difficult times that will come, the pain and all that. We have to hold on to our faith. It's just like the military. You know, they go through difficult training. They go through the ups and the downs and all that. But when, you know, I watched U.S. military documentary of their training and, you know, the pain and all that. But when they are graduating, you see the tears of joy. After going through the 26 weeks or something, you know, graduating, the joy, the excitement, families hugging each other, you know, it's just beautiful. But it was not easy that period whilst they were in training and all that. You know, so yes, the Christian race is not easy and it's not going to be easy. That one, if anyone promises you that the Christian race is easy, no, that one. I tell you, it's not the right Christian race, because the real Christian race is not easy. Prayer sometimes can be, you know, a whole task. I mean, it's anyone who is listening, you know that sometimes prayer is difficult. You feel you want to pray, but the strength is not there. You struggle to pray. Sometimes you take the Bible, you are yawning, you just don't feel like it, but you press on. Sometimes you just feel like giving up, but you have to press on. Let's encourage ourselves, because it is worth it, and it will be worthwhile if we stay on this path. Eventually, heaven should be our goal. Let's start tuning our minds. One thing I remember the Lord told me at the beginning of the year, was one of the things that we have to start tuning our minds to the fact that heaven is our goal. You see, if we don't set that target in our minds, then we'll struggle with the worldly things. The world will draw us back. You know, a typical example is Lot's wife. Lot's wife, her struggle was leaving the earthly things behind. The things that they possessed, leaving them behind was the struggle. And you see, if we don't tune our minds to the fact that we are just here as pilgrims, if God blesses us with something, yes, thank him for it. But these things should not tie us down to the point where it can affect us when we have to focus more on spiritual things. We should have a different mindset as believers in these days we are in. We should. In the case of Lot's wife, she didn't have any example to learn from. But by the grace of God, we have an example to learn from, because we have the story to read and learn from. And interestingly and fortunately for us, even Jesus makes a reference to it. And it's interesting that we talk about it, but it's one of the critical message, short loaded message that Jesus gave. Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. It seems most of us have forgotten. Remember Lot's wife. And that's what I end with tonight. Eben, this is Issues of Life. The file will be recorded. It's recorded to be uploaded to our website, spiritissues.info. And those on the Telegram group, I would upload it there. And all the songs I use tonight, I'll drop it there in the Telegram group. Search for Spirit Issues. It's a group, Spirit Issues, on Telegram. It's not, as I say, a group where people discuss or disturb with chats and all that. It's just purely, I just upload things and people just assess things there. No chatting allowed and all that. So, Telegram, just search for Spirit Issues or Spirit FM, Issues of Life, and you can just join. And the file will be uploaded on spiritissues.info. In the course of the break, God willing, later by Monday, I'll start uploading another a podcast on End Time podcast. So it's like, it's just like the recording of Issues, but another program on it will also be on the website. Extra information on the End Time, because a lot more is happening, but the time is even now too short to talk about everything in 2 hours. So that one will also be available on the website in the next few days, a day or two, God willing. And so you can access it also on spiritissues.info. That one will be End Time Podcast. That's the title, End Time Podcast. And those ones will also be available as well. So good night, and thank you for listening to us, listening to me tonight. It's my prayer that will keep the fire burning in this new relationship that we've established with the Lord tonight. Good night, and God bless you.